We are in the book of Revelation, trying to finish it up, talking about in chapter 21, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. So if you would turn to Psalms, I think it's 46, but I'll tell you when I get there. Yes, it is. Psalms 46. Let's 46. Let's continue to remember Jean and Cindy, and there was another one. If there was, and I can't remember it. I've told the Lord about it, and He knows. So. Buddy, it's good to see you back. And the back row, people's missing. They're all downstairs.
David Seals.
Okay, let's remember him. There was several requests in the prayer room for families, and we need to lift those up, especially in this day that we live. You know, to me, I don't know about you, but one of the most peaceful times I have is prayer. And, you know, He says, you can cast all your cares. You know, cares are things sometimes that weigh you down and are hard to carry. And He says, cast them on Me. He says, for I care for you. And He can handle them. So I'll wait. Someone's coming in. I'll wait just a minute. That's probably someone in my family, I would imagine. And Psalms.
Still remember my granddaughter that lost her name.
Yes. I knew there was nothing I got. Shirley's granddaughter, her dad was killed in a motorcycle wreck. And she's having a hard time with it. And I imagine so. But there again, I've never been there. But the Lord has. And He can handle that. So, all right. Psalms 46. Now, before I start, what are we talking about?
The New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem. The city of God. The city of God. Now, I want you to follow that thought. Because otherwise, you won't understand what this thing's talking about. So here's what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, if you don't see trouble, if you don't see anguish, you're not looking. You're oblivious. It's everywhere. That's why we request prayer for families. It's in families. It's in friends. It's in the country. It's in the world. But this says that He is a very present, an ever-present help in time of anguish. Now, to whom? That's the key. He's not your help if you're not His. The only thing He can do for those who are not His is save them. And then He'll be a very present help to them. There's a word in the Bible, it's called succor, S-O-U-C-C-U-R. And it means to come to the aid of, to be there to help. And that's what this is talking about. And He says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now the word though there, and if I have my teacher in here this morning, she could help me. Do I have a teacher in here this morning? A school teacher. Over here is a school teacher. The word though is the same as the word a. It's what we call a definite or definitive article. It's not saying if by happenstance this should happen, or this could happen, or this might happen. The word though is a definite article. It's going to tell you it is going to happen. What's going to happen? He says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and it will, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and they will. We read it in Revelation, folks. It's not new. It was covered in Revelation. John saw it. The psalmist is just telling you about it. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, and they will. What does he say to do? Think about it. If you're not thinking about it, you're going to miss it. You're going to be caught unaware when it happens, because it is going to happen. There is a river. Now I want you to file that. There is a river. The streams, I went too far, I'm sorry. The streams of whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now in chapter 22, which we're going to hopefully get to today, because I'm trying to forget it, Tommy, you can't fish up nothing. The very first verse in chapter 22 says, you don't need to turn a verse, stay where you're at. I'm going to tell you what it says. There I saw a pure river of water of life coming from the throne. Well, isn't that what that's talking about? Because in 22, he's still talking about the city of God, folks. The new Jerusalem, you know, that comes down from God, that descends down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for. Don't miss the word bride there. Stay with it. You'll see it. It's just so good how this thing comes together. He says, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Isn't that what he said last week? He said, and God himself shall dwell with them. You see, when Egypt was in the wilderness, did God dwell with them?
Yes.
How?
A pillar of fire by night and a cloud
by day. That's how he dwelt with them. Did he speak to them? How? He spoke to them through Moses. And then later on he would speak to them through the judges. And then later on he would speak to them through the prophets. You got to get this, brother. But when you get into the city of God, he'll talk to you direct. Whew. Now I don't know about you. I've talked to a lot of people, some important, some unimportant. But I don't know what it's going to be like to stand this close to the Son of God and carry on a conversation. That's what he says. He said, that's what he says. We're going to see him face to face. That's what he says. Psalmist is writing about it. Now what did the psalmist do? He wrote songs. These are songs. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. These are songs. If this is not something to rejoice in, what are we doing here? Then he says this, God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her. See the word her? See the word her? You know what that means? The bride. The bride. You say, but it's talking about Israel. Well, Israel is part of the bride too, folks, if they come through Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. If you come through Christ, you're part of the bride. So he says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to stay with God. Hallelujah! God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. You remember them coming out after him, don't you? These armies, they come out to get him. We read that in Revelation. This is not new. What happened? Oh, they brought out their armies and everything, and God just said, take them to him, put them in the fire, lake of fire, and take the rest of them and kill them. They're dead. That's paraphrased, but you read, that's what happened. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of... Now, why is that important? Huh? Well, you remember, Israel got divided. You know, 10 tribes were Israel. 2 tribes were Judah. But they were split. But you won't find that split in Revelation, folks. When God goes to restore Israel, He's going all the way back to Jacob, where they started, where they're not divided. They're unified. Remember the 144,000? They wasn't 10 from this tribe and 2 and 10 from this tribe. No, they were 12,000 from every tribe. 144,000. God is going to do exactly what the psalmist says He would do. He does. And so He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation He hath made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire." You know, I think it's our pastor, I can't remember, somebody does. They sing a song, "Peace like a river. There will be peace in the valley for me." He says, "The sword shall be beat into plowshares." There won't be any more war, folks. There won't be any more Ukraines. There won't be any more Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. There won't be any more Russia. There won't be any more China. There won't be any more United States either. All that's coming to an end. Be still. He's already told you to think about it. Now He says, "Now I want you to just calm down a minute. Don't get your mind on what you're going to do today nor tomorrow." He says, I'm paraphrasing that. You know, sometimes, and when I say these things, please remember, I put myself up here at the top, folks. I don't talk down to you. I never do that. But so many times, we come in here so cluttered. We come in here so much in the flesh. We can't be still, Jimmy. He says, be still. Think about Me. Think about My promises. Think about what I've done for you. Think about the place I've prepared for you. Think about the people, how I prepared them for the place that I prepared for them. Think what I've done. Because He's going to say that in a second. It follows a thread here. You just stay with it. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the... Well, doesn't the Bible not say this? That every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. I don't give a rip whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to do what God says you're going to do. You're going to bow before Him and acknowledge your sin and that He was right all the time and you were wrong. Now, it'll be too late for the unsaved, but it'll be a rejoicing time for the saved. So He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think on that. Think about that. I sent out a text. I think it was to Dan. I can't remember. I think it was. He had sent me a picture of Dad after he'd had bypass surgery. And I sent him a text back and I said, just think. Dad's been in heaven less than 30 minutes. If you want to get an idea of eternity, and the time, God's not in time, but I'm trying to make it on our language, and the time frame of God. My dad's been, 12, 13, 14 years, somewhere in there? I don't count, but I think that's something like that. Well, in God's time, it's been 30 minutes or less. You say, how'd you figure that out? Well, one day is with 1,000 years with the Lord, 1,000 years, one day with God. Do the math. Do the math. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is... Now, I'm going to tell you what that word means. Feared. Feared in several ways. First of all, to be afraid of. I'm going to tell you something. If a person is lost, they better get afraid of God. Huh? They better start seeing God in the right way, and then they'll be afraid of Him. But then it says reverence or revere. Now, children of God can reverence and revere. The unsaved can't reverence and revere God, folks. You got to understand that. The only thing they can do is shake in their boots from God, because that's all they've got to look forward to. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So he says, for the Lord was most high, is terrible. He is a great king over all of the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us. The Bible says it this way in Ephesians, we have an inheritance that is undefiled, that is incorruptible. Didn't we read last week where he says, and you shall inherit all things. Everything that Christ is over, we inherit. Think about that. Think about that. Yes, honey. Selah means to meditate on or think about it. That's why he follows it up with be still. You know, you can't really meditate nor think about something unless you get your mind where it should be. And I have trouble with that. I don't care to tell you. Sometimes I read a chapter in the Bible, I can't remember what I read. I have to go back and read again because my mind just went to something else. That's the flesh. I understand that. I get that. But we got to try to be still and to think about it. All right. Now, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. I guess what he's trying to get us to do is what? Sing praises. Sing praises. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, that's singing praises. Because what that's doing is that is acknowledging that only God can lift you with His love and only His blood can save you. But if our minds are cluttered, if our minds are outside this building, we'll just sing it. It won't mean anything. You know, and if that happens, God doesn't get the glory. It doesn't come up before Him as a sweet-smelling savor. He wants us to be still, to acknowledge what He's done for Him, and sing praises, and sing praises. And He told us three times. You know, my dad used to say, if I have to tell you again, I didn't want to hear again either. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing unto praises understand with truth. That word understanding is truth. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the... He's not talking about the earthly city there, folks. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. In the mountain... What's the word mountain mean? Kingdom. In the kingdom of His holiness. Beautiful for... Well, I tell you, I read that I don't know how many times. Because I just couldn't understand it. Beautiful for situation. And I thought, well, dummy, if you'll go and try to find out what the word situation means in the language in which it was written, it might help you. And you know what I did? I did that. Now I don't have any problem understanding that. You won't either when you write this in your book if you make notes. It means elevation. Now I'm going to give you two things. I'm teaching 21, 22, by the way. I don't know if y'all know or not, but I am. You know, first of all, we've already heard where he said it's a holy city, right? So it's elevated in holiness, right? But we also find out that this city, now I want you to think about this, Selah, this city, it's 1,500 wide, it's 1,500 long, and it's 1,500 high. Now I'm going to give you an idea about that. If you fly commercially, I'm not going to, but if you fly commercially, sometimes I fly in a private jet, and they fly at about 16,000 to 18,000 feet. And you look down, and you can sort of make out something, but it's hard. But if you get in a commercial jet, fly at about 42,000 feet. And you look down and you can sort of see, you know, the design of the earth and all that, but you can't tell what's going on down there, because that's pretty high, wouldn't you say? Yeah, 42,000 feet high. Do you know how high this city of God is? 7,920,000 feet. You got to think about that for a second. Did you know that commercial jet's just flying less than a block down the street? You say, Tom, why are you so excited? That's God. That's God's city, folks. You know, it's not only that. It's got a wall 216 feet high, Jimmy. What's a girl's best friend, honey? Huh? Well, this is his wife, as you know. 216-foot high diamond wall. Think about that. Not just any diamond. A heavenly diamond. A pure diamond. Not a blemish in it. Think about that. And do you know that wall, that diamond wall, sets on 12 foundations of precious stones? And that ain't all. That city is made of pure gold. Think about that. Beautiful, he said. Beautiful in elevation. It's unlike, Jimmy, it's unlike anything that you could ever imagine. A city, a pure diamond golden city with walls of jasper. The walls are diamonds. And they set on 12 precious stones. Has 12 walls around it. 12 walls. The walls, it says each, not walls, gates, has 12 gates around it. And each gate has the name of one of the 12 tribes. And the 12 foundations are after the apostles. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? That's a question. Why do you think that is? Well, I'll come over here. You'll speak to me and I'll try to help you. The rest of them, I don't care. The gates of the city is entrance. And it's got the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, what does the 12 tribes of Israel in the Bible, what does that talk, where does that come from? We find that in the Old Testament. Huh? Yeah, and he made promises to people in the Old Testament, right? Okay. Now we come over here. Now we got the foundations that the gates are on. Oh, and by the way, each gate was one pearl. I don't know if you can get that or not. I mean, it must have took some kind of oyster to make that pearl. It don't say it's made out of different pearls, folks. It says in each gate was one pearl. That's God's business. Huh? But anyway, we've got all these promises made over here that the gates give you entrance way, right? But they're on something. They're on the foundation of the 12 apostles. Every promise that he made in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New by the gospel that the apostles gave out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God doesn't do anything halfway, folks. Not anything. It's all coming together when he does it. So he comes over. I gotta get back. Oh, I tell you, run that clock back. I'm hurrying. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the kingdom of his holiness, beautiful for situation, elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount. Well, not this earth. Huh? Yeah, listen, he's not going to bring New Jerusalem down to this cursed world. I can tell you that right now, because he starts out by saying, behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. And then he follows it up by saying, it's done. I mean, you know, all God's got to do is say it and it's done. He doesn't, you know, it doesn't take, how long would it take us to build a city 1,500 miles high, 7,920,000 feet high? How long, well, you remember there was some people that thought they'd do that. Huh? You, they said, oh, let us make brick and mortar. And build a city unto heaven, that we may make a name for ourselves. And God said, are you silly? Are you silly? I'll tell you what I'll do. You speak one language, you speak another, and you speak another, and let's see how much work you get done. You know, and please don't misunderstand me. I beg you. I see things, but it's things I understand. Sometimes maybe I don't make it clear to anybody else who understands. God knows my heart as I stand here. I want people from other places to come to this country and enjoy the benefits that I've enjoyed. I do. But several things have to be. It has to be organized. We have to know who's coming. And they should want to come here because they want to be American. But folks, you see what happens when everybody brings their own ways, their own cultures, their own countries to this country. Now we've got chaos. I don't mean that racially. God knows my heart, I don't. I love this country. And I want anybody to enjoy what I've enjoyed. But folks, you got to want to come here because you want to be a part of us. But you know what, brother? We won't have that problem there. No, we speak the same language. We'll have the same thoughts. We'll want the same things. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to share. Joyously singing doorbells. Doorbells. Well, maybe they are doorbells. I don't know. Doorbells ringing. I don't know. Maybe. You all don't know either. Maybe my mansion will have a doorbell. And if it does, ring it before you come in. Beautiful for our situation, to see the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion and the sides of the north and the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Folks, that's going to be a refuge for his children. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. In chapter 21, towards the end of it, it says, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. In other words, there's only one king, and he gets all the glory. And you know another thing it says? And the saved shall walk in the light of it. Well, what does that tell you? That was a question. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you, because if you got a positive, you have to have a negative. So if he says the saved will walk in the light of it, the unsaved won't. He's already said that the unbelieving, the cowards, the fearful, the idolaters, the murderers, the liars, the sorcerers, oh, they'll have their part in the lake of fire. Well, last time I checked, the lake of fire is not here. He says at the end of chapter 21, he says, and nothing that is abominable, nor defileth, nor maketh a lie, shall enter in. He doesn't want to leave you sad there. But they that their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what that says, brother? That says you better make sure, and I don't mean you. My English is awful. I'll say it differently. A person must make sure that their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Otherwise, you'll never see it. You'll never walk in it. You'll never feel it. You'll never see you'll never see the elevation of it. You won't see the beauty of it. And you know what else you won't see? You won't see the King of it. Now, these other verses over in 22, they puzzled me for a moment. But then God unpuzzles you. He says, you know, he saw the river of life. River of water of life. And he says, and it came from the throne. And on either side of the street, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life. And its fruit, it bare its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the people, or the nations. The word, that just simply means peoples. Now I thought, no, wait a minute. That's confusing. I mean, that's complicated for me, Jimmy. You don't mind me talking to you, do you? I thought, well, now wait a minute. We're going to get a glorified body likened unto his body, right? That's what he said. So we're going to get that. And he's already said there won't be any curse there. Well, the reason that little Cindy's in the shape she's in, folks, is not because little Cindy's done something awful. It's just the curse. This earth is cursed. The reason little Gene had to have some surgery wasn't because Gene did something bad. It's the curse. But he's already said there'll be no more curse there. So if there's no more curse, that means I'll never get sick again, because he's done said, and God shall wipe away all tears, right? And he gives four things that cause the tears, remember? The death, the sorrow, the pain. I can't remember the fourth one, but it's there. He took them all away so that there won't be any tears, because there won't be any of that. So why would we need healing? I couldn't make it. You see my dilemma? I couldn't make that fit. The water of life, I understand the water of life. He told the woman, well, hey, if you drink the water, I give you, you'll never thirst again. I give unto you eternal life, and you'll never perish. What he's talking about is the perfection of eternity. You won't never need healing. Because those leaves are just spewing it out. The fruit's coming every month. And the leaves just keep blooming. And you won't ever have to worry about healing. And you know another thing? He says we'll see him face to face. You know what that told me? You're going to have perfect communion. I'm going to share this with you. I don't care. I share my heart with you. That's all I can do. You know, there was a point this week when I got into the flesh and I raised my voice to a certain person. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you just get emotional and, you know, It wasn't long. I was apologizing. But it just wore on me all week. It just wore on me. Even though I knew I'd taken it to God and He had forgiven me, even though I'd apologized to the man and he said, thank you for the apology, it was working on me, Jimmy. Because that's not who I am. That's who the flesh is, folks. And if we can't distinguish on who we are, we're not the flesh. But boy, it sure does rear its head, don't it? I mean, it's an awful thing. And it gets you sort of down. But you know what? I got to reading this. I wasn't down anymore. Because one of these days, it's like, what was her name? It used to come from Temple Church down here. Julie May. She used to come here. You know what she'd sing? Oh, I'd ask for it every time she'd come. Because nobody could sing it like her. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. You know, when you get to thinking about that, all of a sudden, you ain't depressed. All of a sudden, you're not discouraged. All of a sudden, you find yourself rejoicing. All of a sudden, you find the tears flowing. And all of a sudden, you find your hands going up. And all of a sudden, you start saying, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. For He is great, and greatly to be praised. That's why it says, be still. You can't be still in the flesh, folks, because the flesh is enmity with God. It's anti-God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. We got to kill it. But you know what? You'll kill it today. It'll rear its head tomorrow. And if you don't think that, you're going to walk a disheartened, a discouraged, a defeated life. Because there's been times this week I didn't feel like I could hear God. And I didn't feel like God could hear me because of how I acted. If I don't break you, there's something wrong. I don't want to feel distant from God. Oh, look, I understand. Listen, you don't get distant from God. He's inside you. Wherever you go, He's there. You know, and I don't take his word. This is what the Bible says. He says, do you know that if you go in with a harlot, you take me? Huh? Listen, He's always here. But when that flesh rears its head, it's like He's a million miles away. Not because of Him. He ain't gone anywhere. You ain't gone anywhere. You just in the flesh and, hey, He don't work in the flesh, folks. He don't work in the flesh. That's why He's going to give us a glorified body. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, I got to hurry. But I'm going as fast as I can. Huh? I don't know where I'm at now. Where was I? Oh, yeah. We're back in Revelation. I'm over there now. Okay. Now I want to go to verse 11 of 22. No, I don't either. I want to go up here to verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sends angels showing to his servants the things to which must shortly be. No, in other words, what John was seeing is over now. You got to understand that. What he was seeing, after he sees the New Jerusalem come down, his vision of seeing the end is over. But you know, Habakkuk prayed a prayer. Does anybody remember the prayer of Habakkuk? Chapter 3, verse 4. Anybody remember that? I've told you numerous, numerous times. Habakkuk's prayer. Don't forget it. If you'll write it down somewhere, it helps you to understand Revelation. Because he says this, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Well, if you've not seen wrath in Revelation, you've not seen it. But all through there, peppered through there, salted through there, placed in there is mercy. It's mercy. Here's what he says. Here's what he says. I got to hurry. He says, and he said, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels showing to his servants things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me. That's the second time he's done it. But let me tell you something. The reason he's doing it, bless God, when we get to heaven, you know what? When we start seeing the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the glory of God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fall down, bless God, and start worshiping. We might not do it here. We're going to do it there. We're going to do it there. And he says, then saith unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. Don't you give your worship to anybody but God, folks. Don't you worship no preacher. Don't you worship no teacher. Don't you worship no family, no father, no mother, no sister, no brother, nobody else. Don't you worship anybody. Don't you worship this world. Don't you worship money. Don't you worship anything. You give your worship to God. That's who deserves it. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy. What did he tell Daniel to do with the prophecy? Seal it up. Seal it up. For it's a long way off, he said. But not here. Watch this now. For this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Now, what is the opposite of unjust? Righteous. So he says, he that is righteous, let him remain righteous. What's the opposite of filthy? Holiness. He says, he that is holy, let him be holy still. Let me tell you something. When you take your last breath, however you took it, that's how you're going to be for eternity. Ecclesiastes 11 and 3 or 4, I don't remember. I know where it's at, but I don't remember the exact verse. It says this. If a tree falleth to the north, or if a tree falleth to the south, there shall it lie. I've paraphrased it for years by saying this. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. I'm going to stop that because I like the way it says it here. I want you to think about this, and then I'm going to wind down. What is that? No. North. Hey, if you fall in this direction, oh glory. Y'all please get this. If you fall in this direction, you're going to be there forever. But if a tree fall to the south, if you fall this way, that's where you're going to lie. That's where you're going to be. And he says, you'll have no rest, day nor night. He says, you'll be in a place where the worm dieth not, where the flame is not quenched. If you fall south, you can't fall south and go north, brother. I know the world would like that. I know religious people would like that. I know a lot of people would like to say you can just live any old way you want to, but when you do, you're going this way. No, bless God, if you die this way, that's where you're going. It's not complicated. It's simple. He says, I have set before you this day blessing. Well, folks, if you ain't seen the blessings of the city, you haven't seen it. But he says, I've set before you a curse too. If you choose the curse, you'll never be in this place. You'll never see the new heaven. You'll never see the new earth. You'll never know what it's like to have no tears, because all you'll have forever is pain and sorrow and death and tears and anguish. That's all you'll know. And there'll be no rest, day nor night. And he only puts day and night in there for our vernacular. Human beings understand day and night as the day, then the night, then the day, then the night. Well, that's God's circle of eternity, folks. That's all it's going to be. But you know what? It goes this way, too. It goes this way, too. Bless God, if you die north, you know all you're going to know for eternity is glory. All you're going to do is share any of the inheritance. All you're going to do is never cry again. All you're going to do is never see the curse again. All you're going to do is enjoy the joys of the Lord forever. That's what you're going to know. And he comes over and he says this, and behold, I come quickly. In other words, after he's told you, hey, be careful now. When you go, that's how you're going to lie. He says, but if you listen to me, I'm going to help you. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's not the reward of the saved necessarily. That's the reward of the unsaved. He's going to reward you for your deeds done in the body, he says. And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and last. You better pay attention to who you're listening to. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right through the gate. I told you, bless God, entrance into the city required your name written. Your entrance in is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For without her dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, that's who you'll spend eternity with if you go south, folks. I don't know about you. I don't want to be around those people today. I know I don't want to be around them for eternity. And I say those people, well, listen, God can take any of them and save them right now. He can save dogs, he can save murderers, he can save sorcerers, he can save anybody. But if you fall, if your tree falls wrong, you're not going. And he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Listen, the churches, the pastors, the teachers, and the laymen better keep this word and keep telling people there's up, there's down, and you're not going up unless you go up to the cross first. It's just that simple, not complicated. And the Spirit and the bride say, and let him that heareth say. In other words, if you've heard and you've believed and you've gone fall north, go out and tell people to come. Go out and tell people to come. You know, I go places. And people will say, how are you, Dane? I'll say, saved and on my way to heaven. How about you? And you wouldn't believe. Had to go to the doctor this week and the little nurse. She said, how are you, Mr. Foster? I said, honey, I'm saved and on my way to heaven, making God good. She said, boy, he sure is. He sure is. She said, so am I, and I'm looking for him today. She goes to Riverside Baptist Church. They're having a revival. I may go pay him a visit. And he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. That's what he said in Isaiah 55. Bless God, if you're thirsty, come drink. But if you're not thirsty, you won't come and drink. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He's talking about that river in the city now, folks. He's talking about Christ. Christ is the water of life. That's what he said. He says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God will take away, add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the whole words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If you try to change this book, bless God, you're not going into the city. You're as lost as a ball in high weeds. You know, I have a saying, when I get on the tee at the first hole, I ain't looking for your ball and you won't have to look for mine. Y'all don't understand it. He which testifieth these things saith, he which really believeth this saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, folks, I'm going to tell you, and I ain't backing up from it. If that ain't the desire of your heart right now, you better check your heart. If you're not longing to see him, he says, listen, I'm coming to them that love my appearing. I'm coming to them that long for my appearing. I'm coming to them that are looking for my appearing. And I'll come the second time without sin unto salvation. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's done with Revelation. You say, Tom, where will we be next week? I've got a saying there. Wherever I'm at, there you are.